I'm not sure which clock to follow. That one says we're almost 3 minutes past 10:30. This one says we're not at 10:30, so I'm not sure what we're at.
Our phone time says 10:32.
10:32, okay, so we're on track. If you follow me around in a day, the clock don't mean anything. When you're retired, you do it when you do it. And a lot of times I don't do it. Good morning.
Good morning.
Boy, we got a sparse crowd this morning. I'm like the little guy here. I don't want to. Sometimes on Sunday morning, I just don't want to. I want to have that second cup of coffee and just read my book. But that's not what I'm supposed to do. Okay. Do we have any announcements? Bob?
Our council meeting this Tuesday night, so please make plans to attend at 7 o'clock.
I don't want to.
You have to work that out.
Karen?
We're going to have a quick cemetery board meeting at the church back in Sunday.
Okay. All right. Thank goodness I'm not on that one.
You're not on that one.
Yeah, so I don't have to say, I don't want to. Any others? No? Boy, wow. All right. Well, then we'll get into the prelude. Let's quiet our minds and open our hearts and just meditate on the Lord. Thank you, Jerry. That was beautiful. Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalms 100, verses 1 through 5. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. May we bow our heads. Kind Heavenly Father, we just come before you again on a beautiful sunny Sunday morning. Father, we just have so much to be thankful for, so much to be grateful. Father, our hearts are just overjoyed with just being allowed to come in your presence, Father. Father, now we just ask that you be in the midst of this service and that you touch all that are here. And we ask it in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Okay, hymn number 127.
Please stand for it.
Amen. That song has a special place in my heart. When I was in college in public speaking, we had to do this talk, and I thought, I don't know what to talk about. I don't even want to talk in front of these people because, let's face it, the majority of those people were college-age kids, and I was already a mother, a grandmother, and I'm thinking, what can I talk about? And she has always been one of my favorite hymn writers because she just impressed upon me because how she triumphed over adversity, you know, being stricken with blindness at a young age. And she wrote these beautiful hymns. So the Lord put it upon my heart, and that was always one of my favorite. And I thought, So before I talked about her and her life and gave a little summary, I opened a cappella with that first stanza. And they're like, and I thought, you know, and I thought, you know, you hear these things about college and how liberal and whatever, and I'm thinking, ooh, if I didn't think about that teacher. What if she's kind of on the other side? I might not do too well, but he worked on it. He had it, and I was amazed that a couple of the young ladies came up to me afterwards, and they were like me, and I thought, oh. But then I got the true taste of college life when one of my advisor came to me and said, we want you to do the invocation when all of them receive their diplomas for medical assistant. I thought, whew, you know, the auditorium, and I thought, well, I can do this. But boy, did I get my eyes open, because all my life I've only been taught to pray to one God. And that's what I did. I prayed to the Father. And afterwards, one of them that were on the board, I can't even remember the man's name. I just know that he was taller than I was. He was older than I was, and he was grouchy. He came to me, and he berated me. And I don't know if you remember this, Ralph. I was so upset. I said, let's go, let's go. I didn't even stop for cake. And you know when Deb doesn't stop for cake, she's upset. But he berated me because he said, not everybody has just one God. And I said, well, I'm sorry, sir. That's all I've ever been taught. I don't mean to offend anybody. Of course, now if that would happen, I'd have a few choice words to back it up with this. But then I was only just a babe. But anyway, but I just thought I'd share that. That song has meaning. Okay, call to Christian giving comes from Matthew 10:8. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received and freely you give. Remember that. What we have is because what he blesses us. You know, he blesses us with good health to be able to make a living. And hopefully he has instilled upon us, blessed us enough with a good, strong mind that we can be good stewards. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for the blessings that you give us, the good health that we can go out and make a living. Father, we thank you for your guidance in financial matters. And Father, we just ask that now that you would guide us as stewards of your church, that you would guide us in how to manage the money that we receive, and may that it be a blessing to others and an uplift to you. Father, now we ask that you not only bless the gift, but you bless the kind hands and hearts that have given. And we ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Now, joys and concerns. It's a joy to see Miss Lottie back here. Yes, yes. And we still don't have Miss Jean. You have an update for her?
I'd also like to keep her son-in-law in our prayers, Jerry Andrews. He has back surgery this week.
Oh. We all know what it is with back surgery. others. Danny? Yes, we missed you all last week. It's good to see when that back bench is filled. Right, Travis? I told him he looked asleep, and I said, are you awake? He said, yeah, kind of. I said, you sound like Ralph Lee. So you and Travis are in the same boat today. Any others? I just ask that you continue to keep Cody in your prayers. He is some better, but there's still some underlying things going on there. And we just pray that the Lord gives the doctor the knowledge to know what dosages and what meds to use. Any others? Okay. Let's come to Frank.
Continue to keep Pat in our prayers. And also, our attendance has been sort of dropping. We pray that we'll start to get more people come to church and worship with us.
I think a lot of that is the winter blahs. I've been having that lately. And then the colds that come on and whatever, you know. So I'm pretty sure that when the temps rise, so will our attendance. I pray. We'll have to pray about that, Frank. Let's keep, as always, let's keep our president and the cabinet and all them in prayer. They need guidance. They need to humble themselves and come to him for advice and wisdom. And we all know when you're at that high a level, sometimes you think you can do it on your own. You know it all. But I hate to tell them they don't know it all. Only he does. And peace. Let's keep Israel, Ukraine, but let's keep the BB family. That has to, huh? No. The family. What was their? It starts with a B. The young mother and the two children and the father is Beebly or something. But let's just. He knows who they are. Let's just keep the father in prayer because he's supposedly the only one left, and they only got the two bodies back from the children and not the mother. It just breaks your heart. So we as Christians can't fathom somebody with that mentality as the Hamas has. To have that kind of hate is just, we can't fathom it, but it's there. So let's just pray for that family as they go through this struggle. So, any others? Jerry, none?
This Frank's
unspoken.
Our country and the world, too.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
I have prayers for someone whose name I do not know. My grandson is a bone marrow donor, and he was scheduled to give bone marrow this week for someone who's suffering from leukemia.
Oh.
And last week he went snowboarding and broke his wrist. Mm-hmm. And so he can't do it, and another donor needs to give them.
Oh. Any others? Okay, let's come before the Lord. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, Father. We have so much to be thankful for, and we just want you to know from the bottom of our hearts how grateful we are for all that you are and all that you do. Father, we can see you in all surroundings. We just need to take the time just to look out your window and see a bird sitting on the bird feeder. That's a reminder of you. And just to see the greenery from spring, the tulips and stuff, they're starting to just come up above the ground. We think of that renewed life, Father, and we just know that you are in all. Father, our list It's not as long today, but our attendance is very few today. So we just ask that you would be with those that aren't here. You know the reason why, and we just ask that you would touch them in a mighty way. Touch them with healing and give them a special blessing. Father, we just think of those that are on our list. We think of Jeannie, who has been struggling for weeks now with illness, and we just ask that you make her whole again, that she can go about, and we always enjoy her smile and her laughter, and we just miss that. Father, we think of Joey, who's had back surgery. We just ask that you would keep him in your care. We think of Kathy. Boy, is she a model of strength to us all. We just ask that you continue to touch her in a mighty way. Give Danny a blessing as he cares for her. We think of Pat, who struggles, and we just ask that you would make her day go smoothly, and that you would give Frank a special blessing as caregiver. We think of young people like Cody and Travis, who struggle with mental issues, Father. We just ask that you would touch them in a mighty way, that you would heal them, that you would be with their doctors and give them the knowledge they need to know what to do in cases like this. We just think there's so many that are struggling right now, and we just ask that you keep your hand upon them. We think of our politicians, our political leaders, our president, his cabinet, and administration. Father, we just pray that they would humble themselves and come to you for advice and for guidance, that they would realize that your wisdom is the wisdom they need. Father, there's many unspoken prayers. You know each and every need, each and every care, and we just ask that you be there in the midst of those prayers that are spoken. Father, we think of Lottie's grandson, who is now recovering from a broken wrist. And Father, for the donor, we don't know the donor, but the donor that's needed. We don't know the person that needs the bone marrow, but we know you do, and we just ask that you would move mightily in that, and that there would be a new donor found quickly, one that's compatible and one that's healthy, that can be of help. Father, we just thank you for the joy of having Danny and Kathy back, and Miss Lottie, for when one of ours is missing. It truly, we do ache when they're missing. We feel that need to see them, hear from them. Father, now we just want to lift up our military and our police, our firemen, our EMTs. We just ask that you would be with each. Strengthen them, guide them, and direct them. Father, we just want to ask you to keep your hand of safety upon Kyle, Elijah, Ian, Ethan, Jeremy, and Drew. Father, these young men serve in different capacities, and we just ask that you would watch over them, direct their path, and keep them safe. Father, we thank you for Brother Sam, who's about to step before the pulpit, and we just ask that you would give him and Sister Jackie a special blessing for the work that they do on your behalf. Father, as he stands here, may your words flow freely through him, and may we, as listeners, stay awake and listen and learn what you want us to. Father, now we just join our hearts and our voices in that most perfect prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now we can join in hymn number 34. Our sermon title this morning is Offering Joyful Praise to the Lord. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Yes. Scripture reading comes from Hebrews, Jude 24 through 25. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, to be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Okay, I'll turn it over to Brother Sam.
I'd like to explain something about the clocks in the church here so you understand. That's the clock that we start the service with. That's the clock I finish my sermon with. Now, how many can see this clock? How many can see that clock? Just me. So that's why we have two different clocks. I just wanted to clarify that here. So you watch that clock. Actually, I like what it was on Wednesday when we had that time that Dan was here. It was 40 minutes slow. So somebody has set it a little further ahead. So we'll worship the Lord today. Let's bow down in prayer. Father, we give thanks that we can give glory to you. Thank you. We serve a great God. As Debbie was saying, if this man had other gods, what can they do? Ours created the universe, saved us from our sins, preparing a home in heaven. Their gods are gods of stone and do nothing. May we glorify you, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Today we're in the end of the book of Jude. I preached earlier in June in the book of Jude, back earlier in the fall. Then we had Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year. So I wanted to come back and finish the book of Jude as far as our study. Earlier in Jude, verse 3, he was going to write about the common salvation. But he said it's need to earnestly contend for the faith. So we're in a fight. We're in a battle for truth. So how much lying is going on in government, in churches, in homes, and communities. So we're in a fight. And the Greek word is agonazo, from which we get the word agony. When I participated in sports in high school, I was all right, but I wasn't willing to give blood quite that much. But sports can be a rough thing. Have you watched these hockey matches between America and Canada? 9 seconds into the game, they're into a fight. I shouldn't have done it, but I cheered an American guy because he took the Canadian down. But the next game, they lost. So we're in a spiritual battle. But while we're in the spiritual battle, over in verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. Now I'm telling you, to be in a battle and be in love, it takes some work. And I know some preachers are nice guys, I preach them, but they're so mad at the devil, they just beat up everybody. And I'm convinced today that Satan doesn't matter how mad you are at Satan, as long as you don't love the Lord. But it says here, keep yourselves in God's love. So now today we have these final verses, the last two verses. As a newspaper reporter, when I was at Frederick Post, the editor was always insisting, the first paragraph and the last paragraph had got to be eye-catching, so you read what's in between. So it took me a while to get onto that. So we want to know, while we're in this fight and we keep in God's love, what does Jude say about the end of it? Now to him that's able, we just think, thou art, how great thou art. We don't sing how great thou wert. Right? Am I serious? How great you were. How great you might be. But how great you are. We have the same God. that Moses had. Now, I do cross the Bay Bridge. I don't go through the Red Sea. But God is able to do exceedingly. We're going to see about that in just a little bit. He has power. It's the word dunamis, from which we get dynamic. Now, we also get the word dynamite, but in school they said don't use dynamite because that just blows up things. But dynamo, dynamic, we have a God like that. And Dan has a couple of verses that will help us explain that.
Ephesians 3:20, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Hebrews 7:25, he is able to save them to the utmost who come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them.
So when we pray, I'm trying to watch your prayer here. Have you ever prayed, Lord, if you're able, could you do thus and so? Now, we pray if it's your will. But I never pray, God, if you have enough energy. God doesn't get tired. I don't know whether you believe it or not, but I get tired. I get sleepy. So do you. Hopefully not during church. But God is always able to do all of these things. What I enjoy living in Thurmont, taking my morning walk about this time of the year, just as the sun comes up. Have you ever taken those mountains like a red glow? And I think God knows about every tree on the mountain, every leaf. Why? He created it. The knowledge of God. And in our prayers, I hope we're not saying, Lord, I'd like to inform you of something. He already knows it. In fact, one place it says, the answer is on the way before you even pray it. So he is able. But the first thing we wanted, two things we're looking at. Preservation now and presentation later. Preservation now. Presentation later. And Dan has some verses about he's going to keep you from falling.
2 Timothy 1:12. I am persuaded he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. 1 Peter 1:5. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation.
All right, so the word keep means to watch, protect, falling. Now, this is spiritual, not physical. And I guess most all of you, the age you are, the one thing we are get much more cautious as we get older is falling. Falling on the sidewalk. How many people we've known at our age fall, break a hip, and they never really get recovered again? And my doctor is nosy because every time I go in, every 6 months, they say, have you fallen? I've never said, but I feel like saying, none of your business. But you don't say it to a doctor, do you? Last winter, after the spring, the doctor said, have you fallen? I said, is slipping on the ice count? He said, no, because I did too. So we slip on the ice. We're cautious about falling. But this is a spiritual area. And it means God can keep us in our salvation. I accepted Christ in 1949. I'm still saved. Not because I kept God, but because God kept me. See, when we say, we have a song, He Holds My Hand. Do we have a song, I Hold His Hand? When my children are little, then grandchildren, now great-grandchildren. When an adult is walking along with a little child, and especially in Thurmont, we want to hold their hand so they don't run out in the street. Who has a better grip? Hopefully the father or the mother or the adult. So I'm saying this, God has a better grip on us than we do on him. And he says he's able to keep that which I've committed. or we're kept by the power of God. I think here today we'll agree. We can do nothing to gain our salvation. We cannot work enough to get to heaven. It's by the grace and power of God. God saves us by his power. But then does he say, I'm going to save you now, and you're on your own after that? Man, what? I accepted Christ in 1949. If God forgave all my sins to 49, but after that I'm on my own, I wouldn't be anywhere near this. So God keeps that which we have committed unto him. Now, in my days of growing up, my mother and dad had a safe deposit box at the bank. Any of you folks had or your parents had a safe deposit box at Farmers and Mechanics Bank? Question, whose responsibility is it for the box? For us or for them? All we had was a key. They had a key too, double keys. But the safe deposit box was the bank. If it was lost, who's going to be responsible? They are. So a safe deposit box is safe. We're in the Lord. He has saved us, and we're going to be preserved throughout our life so that we know our salvation is secure. We're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. So I'm sure I'm going to heaven, not because of what I did or will do or am doing, but what Christ did on Calvary. Now, one of our songs probably is, Jesus paid it, some of it. Jesus paid a down payment. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. So, right now, God is preserving us. The next part, presentation in the future. And I think Dan might have a few verses about that.
Ephesians 5:27, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not have spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Colossians 1:21-22, you were enemies, yet now he reconciled you to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight.
Present means, and I present unto you. And Debbie says, now, Pastor Sam, or whatever. When I was pastor of my own church, I didn't get those introductions. Now that I'm semi-retired, and one time I preached in 6 different churches, and I kind of enjoyed how they introduced me. They could have said, and Debbie could say, well, got the old man from Thurmont with a raspy voice. It would have been true, but when someone introduces you, do you listen to how they introduce you? Here's my nasty neighbor, but he'll get along all right with you. No, it says the word faultless means without any shortcoming. In the medical, there's 2 words I'm going to give in just a moment. Medically, that I mean will make you cheer. In our Tuesday Bible class, Dan was there, and Jackie, myself, and Frank and Pat. Our neighbor, our backyard's joined, Joni. I don't know how long, a year or so, she's been battling ovarian cancer. Now you know where I'm going with that. Ovarian cancer. She was never that big and strong. I wouldn't say skinny, but she was pretty thin and lost a lot of weight. So you know where we're going with that. Tuesday at our Bible class, she said 2 words that brought absolute cheer at the Methodist Church when she announced it, and I'll announce it here. Cancer free. You know what I'm talking about? Cancer free. Now, it had to happen to me with my throat. 27 years ago, I had cancer of the right vocal cord and radiation. And when the radiation was finished, they said, you're cancer free. Now, when I had my radiation, I've got a tattoo right here, a medical tattoo. and I had a helmet over my head, and somehow they, because with that radiation, as Dan and Kathy were, with radiation, you got to be really precise. So they made me sit totally still, and they lined me up and had this mask, 28 treatments. It was like having your worst sore throat for 4 weeks. And part of the problem was I had to take strong medicine. The medicine was so strong, I couldn't sleep. So now what am I going to do? Well, they gave a medicine to put me to sleep, and it didn't work. So I called the doctor and said, "Doc, that medicine is killing the pain, but I can't sleep." He said, take a teaspoon every 15 minutes till you go to sleep." After about four, I went to sleep. I tell you, I thought I was in heaven. But with that mask, I remember when you graduate from the Naval Academy, those cadets, midshipmen, throw their caps in the air. Remember that? Throw their caps in the air. So I said to the doctor, "Could I take that helmet with me?" Took the helmet with me, went home, got my cameras. "You go on the porch, have that camera ready to go." I went out in the yard. I took that helmet and I threw that thing as far in the air as I could. And she took a couple pictures. Now, the neighbors would probably say, "That guy's crazy." But I'm telling you, when you're cancer-free, I don't care what they say. There is a celebration. This says, when we stand before him, we're going to be cancer-free. Now it says, before his presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Dan has a couple more about that.
15:7. I say unto you, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner who repents. Matthew 10:32. Whoever shall confess me before men, him I will confess before my Father in heaven.
Before his presence with exceeding great joy. Standing in the presence of the Lord with exceeding great joy. Again, going back to you, I don't know if I've ever reluctantly introduced someone. Well, you have to know who he is. Aren't you glad when people introduce you, they're happy about it? Well, I guess you better well know who the guy is. What we're saying here is, when we stand before the Lord in his presence, exceeding joy, exuberant joy. About the best joy that I've experienced from a human standpoint is the first time the Redskins won a Super Bowl. I mean, the Redskins won the Super Bowl. We lived in the D.C. area. I remember going and standing on the front porch and thinking, of all the games, we didn't lose the last game. You think this year, 12 teams in the NFL, 11 of them lost their last game. Philadelphia won with Washington. And I stood on my front porch. We live on a busy street. Crazy me. I waved at all the cars. They honked the horn. They don't know who I am. I don't know who they are. We were exuberant joy. And I'm telling you, when we get to stand before the Lord, when we arrive in heaven, Jesus is going to introduce us with exuberant joy. I almost believe about a year ago, Steve Wolf breathed his last breath here in Rocky Ridge. The next second, he breathed his first heavenly breath, and Jesus said, "Steve Wolf, welcome home." With exuberant joy. And so for the believer, isn't that a way to go and to be welcomed home? But it also says here that if we confess God before men, he'll confess us before the Father in heaven. And Debbie gave us a great illustration of confessing Jesus before these people in the school. And someday Jesus is going to say, "Debbie, welcome, Debbie. She talked about me on earth. I'll talk about her in heaven." And Jesus washed all our sins away. What a celebration. When I was pastor in this area, we started a church, New Carrollton Bible Church. It took us a while to get the church building up. And I had opposition from the town council. And so they gave me a hard time, but we got the permit. When I got the permit, they said, well, since you're in the town, you've got to get the town permit also. And I thought, I dreaded going there because I'd been fighting these people for 6 months, and now I got to go and ask for a building permit. But I went because I had no option. When it came time for Reverend Marcy's here to present the New Carrollton Bible Church building permit, the mayor of New Carrollton, who was my friend, said, could I introduce Reverend Marcy as my friend? And he said some nice things about me and the church. I knew right then I was going to get that permit. I knew I had the permit. Now, we built the church at our dedication service. I invited the mayor. And during the service, I said, I would like to introduce you to Mayor Hanko, my good friend. And the church clapped and cheered for it. So I'm saying, for us on earth, we call it a homegoing. For the person, what is it? Homecoming. Homegoing, homecoming. So someday we're going to stand before the Lord, and he's going to present us with exceeding joy. Weren't you glad? When you arrive somewhere, people are glad to see it. All of our family live out of the area. So when they come, we're always glad to see, here comes, and the neighbors even get in on it sometimes. Such excitement. What's going on in Mark's home? Well, so-and-so is here. So for us, someday, God is going to introduce us in heaven with great joy. Then, looking at verse 25, to the only wise God. How wise is God? Well, Dan's going to tell us some things about the wisdom of God.
Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Matthew 1:21. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
To the only wise God. God knows everything about everybody. I don't know about you, but I'm amazed at medically how much information all of our doctors have. Is that true with you? When you go for your appointment, they go on that computer. There's sometimes I want to, what's that say? What does that, and I get discussing with all these abbreviations. What does that abbreviation mean? And then sometimes there's a printout, and I think, are they talking about me? And you ever get blood work? And they give you the printout? The last time I had blood work, printout, there's 41 things in my blood. I don't know why I have it. I don't know why I need it. I don't know what it does. But out of 41, I had only one, just a little question mark, might check that one out. So Bible says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. God knows all about us. The word God means originator. God made us. Now, our teacher today, we came from monkeys. There are times I'm tempted to believe some might be true. They made from monkeys. Not us. I'm no kin to the monkey, but you might be. I don't know. But isn't it wonderful how God has made the human body and the world and the universe about us? But also our Savior. When I think about Jesus dying for our sins, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm still trying to imagine God's love. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Now listen, you have sons and daughters, don't you? Most of you have children. I have a son. If there was a convict on death row, and the judge says, either your son dies or that convict dies, you might as well plan for his conviction, because I'm not giving up my innocent son for him. Can you imagine giving up your children? If someone accuses your child wrong, you want to defend them, right? You go to the school board. You go to the principal. You go wherever it is, and you defend your children if they're not guilty. I don't want my kids being falsely accused. But Jesus bore our sins. That kind of love God has. And the Savior, call his name Jesus, he shall save his people from their sins. Now, what we give to the wise God is glory. The Greek word doxa, from which we get doxology. So, in this church, at the end of every service, we are saying, praise God, from whom all blessings flow, and we go through all that. That's our theme, right? To God be the glory, the praise, the Shekinah glory. If you think this is important, the word glory in the New Testament occurs 167 times. You think something that many times God is important about it, and the word glorify recalls also the same. And I think maybe Dan has a couple of verses about glory.
Psalm 29:2. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God.
So when you give credit, I grew up, you give credit where credit is due. Joe Montana, quarterback in the NFL, every Christmas bought his offensive line expensive Christmas gifts because he's the hero. He threw the touchdown. But those guys weren't blocking. They wouldn't get the credit. He would never take the full credit. Why? It doesn't belong to him. And we get proud, going to glorify ourselves. The glory belongs to the Lord. We glorify him. We praise him. And then we have majesty, dominion, power. Dan will read about some of those.
Hebrews 1:3. The Son by himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. 1 Peter 4:11. In all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever. Matthew 28:19-20. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and teach all nations.
Majesty, dominion, power. What I'm saying today is this. I don't think Satan cares how mad we are at him, how much we talk about him, as long as we don't talk about the Lord. Satan does enjoy us. I think today two things are happening in this church. I think God in heaven is saying, you see down there, Rocky Ridge, there are still people praising me. And Satan is as angry as it can be. Satan hates our praise for the Lord. I guess the people in Kansas City didn't enjoy the parade in Philadelphia, did they? And so I think Satan sometimes, I've known people that just hate the devil. Okay. But do you love the Lord? And I think as long as we say to God be the majesty, it means like a supreme royal ruler. In fact, you might appreciate the first part of that word is MAGA. Just in the Greek. not for America. But you talk about a MAGA. God is the ultimate MAGA. Whatever you want to say about it. The majesty. Dominion means manifested power, vigor. He's able to do it. And that word power actually is the word authority. And so we would say a policeman has power, right? A policeman goes out, has power, put his hand up and stop a big 18-wheeler truck. As a news reporter, I also found another part of this. Sometimes the policeman puts his hand up and nobody stops. Or he may get injured and goes down. When he gets on the radio, officer down, you find out how much power there is. You want to find out how many policemen in Frederick? You just get a policeman down one time. I've only traveled with them one time. There was a fight in East Street in Frederick, and I was in the police station. They said, come with me, Sam. So I jumped in a police car. I have never gone through Frederick that fast in my life. I was scared. You know, the sirens are on, and they pull them on the street. They jump out with their guns and say, come on, Sam. I jump out with my pencil and paper, and I'm scared to death. We got back to police headquarters later on, and they said, Sam, you were scared. I said, scared? You guys have a gun. I've got a pencil and paper where I got a riot. But on the other hand, I knew I was protected by them. So God is able to do all these things. God has the authority. When God says in his word these things, it's still true. When God says he'll answer prayer, it is still true. It says both now and forever. Amen. It's great to know in this church, 100 and some years, still preaching the Bible. God hasn't changed. The word hasn't changed. We might have changed, but God's promises are still true. And amen. We serve a great God and give all the glory to him. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we give thanks for this church down through the years. We will never know how many answers to prayer have been within these walls, because you're a great God and do great things. May we give all the glory for you, to you, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Shepherd, Jesus for his children in his
face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.